And now I can.
Yep, there it
Five.
goes.
Yep, now I'm recording.
Okay, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you again for being with us these past few weeks since we've met and all the blessings you provided for us. And now we'd ask you to be with us tonight as we look into your word and open our hearts and minds that we might receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was trying to read this before we started, and once again, I was struggling with the language, but so I pulled up my program that has the different versions in it, and I started comparing some of the versions to see which ones seemed to have some semblance to the words in the Hebrew, because the translations go all over the place. And believe it or not, the one I liked is the Septuagint translated into English, which is shocking to me. Now, the Septuagint is what is used in the New Testament. All the quotations from the Old Testament in the New Testament are from the Septuagint because they were writing in Greek, and the Septuagint version is a Greek version of the Hebrew. Sometimes it goes far afield from the Masoretic text, which is the Hebrew. And there's, I guess, mixed feelings as to which. You can't say which is more accurate because, in a lot of ways, the Septuagint is, since it was a translation into the Greek, it was an attempt to make the Hebrew idioms understandable in the Greek language. So, like a lot of translations, it can take some liberties with the text. But the surprising thing is, it's also very literal in a lot of ways, seemingly from looking at least at Isaiah, much more than what I'm seeing in the other translations. So I thought maybe I'd read from that, follow along in the King James. I don't think it'll be too different
Probably not anymore from the version that you'd
than the
normally
one I'm reading. That's for
read.
sure. It's I don't know where they get some of these things. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's difficult. Anyway,
It'll be
Isaiah.
interesting to compare them.
Yeah, Isaiah 41:1. Hold a feast to me, ye islands, for the princes shall renew their strength. Let them draw nigh and speak together. Then let them declare judgment. Who raised up righteousness from the east and called it to his feet, so that it should go, shall appoint it an adversary of Gentiles, and shall dismay kings, and bury their swords in the earth, and cast forth their bows and arrows as sticks. And he shall pursue them, the way of his feet shall proceed. The way of his feet shall proceed in peace. All right, I'm going to stop here at three. Maybe we can make some sense out of this between all the different versions. I'm just going to say this, and I'm getting a feeling for these three verses that God is asking who hold the. This says hold the faith. This one says hold the feast to me, ye islands or coasts. The Hebrew version I usually read for says stand silent before me, coastlands, and let nations renew their strength. Here he says hold the feast to me, ye islands or coastlands, for the princes shall renew their strength. Well, it's probably the heads or the princes of the nations that are being called together to, and what renew their strength means, I am not certain. It says, let them draw nigh and speak together, then let them declare judgment. So they're making some kind of a judgment.
Well,
The
I
Septuagint,
can read
he
from the
says,
commentary.
yeah, read it to me.
It says, in this prophecy, the Lord puts the nations on a trial to show them that He alone is God, because only He can predict the future. The
Okay.
trial consists of two cycles, 41:1 through 20, and then 41:21 through two, I'm sorry, 42:9, followed by appraise him. In each trial cycle, there are three elements: a call to the nations to trial, a prediction of the coming of Cyrus, a celebration of the victories of the servant.
Okay, that
And
sounds
then,
good.
furthermore, in verse one, divine calls for silence usually anticipate judgment. Host lands include Lydia in Asia Minor, which was conquered by Cyrus, or
Cyrus, yeah.
Cyrus, sorry, Cyrus, and renew their strength, contrast strength that results from faith with unassisted human strength.
Say that again, the last sentence.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. It can renew their strength, contrasts strength that results from faith with unassisted human strength.
Okay. So when he says renew their strength, it's to renew, become strong. It's like become strong in the Lord, you think?
That's how I would interpret it.
Yeah.
I guess
Okay.
it's contrasting genuine faith with human effort.
Well, one thing that's interesting about that is, you know that verse, other verse in Isaiah, which says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their
Their
strength,
strength. Yeah, they shall soar
mount
like
up on
on
wings
wings of
as eagles."
eagles. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Same kind of phrase. And
I'm
he's
gonna
saying the nations renew their strength, but he says, "Let them approach to state their case." That's the judge, the judgment. I'm reading here from this JDS version. Definitely, that gives the sense of the judgment that your commentary is talking about. So, in that sense, I like that. And let us come forward together for argument. This is the JPS. So maybe the JPS wasn't that bad in all cases. Three, he shall pursue. This is, I like. Two is let us, the Septuagint two says, who raised up righteousness from the east and called it to his feet? That's pretty close to the Hebrew. Because it has the word, it actually uses the word feet, and this is the only one that has it, and
It
definitely
says
it's,
that.
oh yeah, oh, you're, which one are you looking at? The King
New King
James?
James. New
Yeah,
King James.
okay,
Yes.
good.
Carmen says that too. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet?
Okay, I agree, that's close to the Hebrew. So that it should go, shall appoint it an adversary of Gentiles and shall dismay kings. I'm lost, but anyway.
What's the one that you typically read from the JPS?
The JPS Hebrew English Tanakh.
I find the language that they use kind of confusing.
Sometimes I get co totally don't know where it's coming from, John. I agree. I don't
I
know.
don't know
I
what
don't
else to
always
say.
get it right. Anyway, let's continue. So what is God's judgment? That's what I'm trying to figure out in this first part.
Yeah,
He's
it's weird.
asking these questions like he asked Job, who has wrought and achieved this? Who has announced the generations from the start?
Yeah.
But that's used, I think, in several places in the Bible where God, when he's confronting someone, says, "Can you tell everything that happened from the beginning of time to the end of time? I'm the only one who can do that." And that's the thing that silences the critics, the fact that their knowledge is limited. His is unlimited. And so I guess that's the basis of his, what should you say, challenge to the nations. And again, you have this, the first and the last, which you see in Revelation. I, the Lord, who was first and will be with the last as well. In the case, that's from that's the end of verse 4 in the JPS. And in the Septuagint says, who has wrought and done these things? He has called it, who called it from the generations of old. I, God, the first, and to all futurity, I am. That's pretty interesting, but the King James. I'm gonna go pull the King James back up.
It's four you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's four. Yeah, it says, Ani hu, I am he. That's literal. That's the Hebrew I just read. Ani Yahavah Rashon, the beginning. I the Lord am the first. Rashon is very, that Rosh is like the head, the beginning. Aharoni. The last. I'm not sure about that. Can't read that part. I don't know how to do it. Very interesting, though. Let me continue. So you have the first and the last. The coastlands look on in fear. That's verse 5. I'm back in the JPS because I lost the other thing I had. The ends of the earth tremble. Let me try to get it back. 5. In the Septuagint says, and the glory of the Lord shall appear. No, that's 41. Yeah. Wow, that sounds just like the Messiah, the Handel's Messiah. And the glory of the Lord shall appear, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, for the Lord has spoken it. Now, what do you have in the King James?
The coastlands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came.
Oh, I'm in this is chapter 40 now. Okay, let me go to 41. No wonder it said, here's 41. Okay, how did I get 40? 41, 5. The nation saw and feared, the ends of the earth drew nigh and came together, everyone judging of his neighbor, and that to assist his brother. And one will say, the artificer has become strong, and the coppersmith that smites with the hammer and forges. Also, sometimes he will say, as a piece well joined, they have fastened them with nails, they will fix them, and they shall not be moved. JPS, they draw near and come, each one helps the other, saying to his fellow, take courage. Now that's literal. Take courage. There's a one word expression in Hebrew, chazak, which means be strong. And it's interesting. I know Mark is a big fan of Kurt Vonnegut. I don't know if you are or have read any of this stuff.
No.
But he's got a dog that periodically appears in his different stories. And the dog's name is Kazak, which is funny because that's what it means. Be strong or take courage. So there, these workmen are encouraging one another to in the course of their work. The woodworker encourages the smith who flattens with the hammer, encourages him who pounds the anvil. He says of the riveting, it is good, and he fixes it with nails that it may not topple. Verse 8, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I drew from the ends of the earth and called from its far corners, to whom I said, you are my servant. I chose you. I have not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not frightened, for I am your God. I strengthen you and I help you. I uphold you with my victorious right hand. Shamed and chagrined shall be all who contend with you. They who strive with you shall become as naught and shall perish. You may seek, but shall not find those who struggle with you. Less than nothing shall be the men who battle against you, for I, the Lord, am your God, who grasp your right hand, who say to you, have no fear, I will be your help. Fear not, O worm Jacob, O men of Israel, I will help you, declares the Lord. So, where did your commentary say the second judgment scene was going to begin?
41:21.
Okay, so we're only halfway into this initial judgment period. So I think what the verses here are saying is that just as the workmen will encourage one another when they're working, God is encouraging Israel by pointing out that he's called them to be his friend, like he called to Abraham, and he's with them. And that they should have no fear concerning the men who are putting forth, presenting themselves as their adversaries. Sort of reminds me of the situation in contemporary times right now, when a lot of the nations are coming forward to contend with Israel about what their plans are in the Middle East. Verse 15. You want to take some of this reading, John? Take it from verse 15.
Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them. The wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord, the glory and the glory in the Holy One of Israel.
Let's stop a minute. I just wanted to point one thing out. Mountains, they're often symbolic of the nations or the rulers, strong things that are strong and predominant. So again, it's talking about it's encouraging Israel to be strong in the face of the mountains because God's making them his threshing board to thresh them. These rulers and overcome them. And the victory is going to be their glorying in the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah, that is actually appropriate for today,
Yeah.
like you said,
Isn't it?
with everybody coming against Israel, which is a profound
Not
thing, I
going to
think.
be because they're the strongest nation. It's going to be only because of God's calling and choosing them and they're staying close to him in his purposes, following what he wants to accomplish.
Okay, 17. The poor needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. And now it starts the second
Yeah,
cycle.
okay. Yeah.
Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. I think it's interesting that that's in the plural, huh?
Where?
Well, declare to us things to come.
Huh. Okay, tell us, yeah. Well, who's us? That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do evil. I'm sorry. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun, he shall call on my name, and he shall come against princes as the mortar, as the potter treads clay.
All right, you got to stop here. This is what I think he's saying is referring to Cyrus. And I understand that's a historical reference, but Cyrus is also clearly a type of the Messiah. It doesn't give him a name here. It just says, I've roused him from the north. The north is also the dwelling place of God in the Bible. Mount Zion and the sides of the north. The
Okay.
north is the heavenlies. And because when the psalmist is talking about Mount Zion and the sides of the north, he's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And then the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion and the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's the psalm I'm quoting. And that phrase in the sides of the north is used a lot of this the heavenly realm. So I'm thinking what's ultimately being described here, the one that's coming from the north is the Messiah, the ultimate return of Christ. And he has come from the sunrise, one who calls on my name, invokes my name. And he has trampled rulers like mud, like a potter treading clay. This is pointing ultimately to the battle of Armageddon with the return of Christ. Who foretold
Interesting.
this from the start that we may notice from aforetime that we might say he is right? N not one foretold, not one announced. No one has heard your utterance. The things once predicted to Zion. Behold, here they are. And again, I send a herald to Jerusalem, but I look and there's not a man. Not one of them can predict or can respond when I question him. See, they are all nothingness. Their works are nullity. Their statutes are naught and nil. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I like how mine reads.
Read it.
It just
Yeah.
says, indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the Hebrew, it says Ruach VeTohu. And, you know, the earth was created without form and void.
Yeah.
That's Tohu Bohu. Tohu is one of the words that's, I think it's the one that's called without form. And yours calls it confused. What did it call it?
Their molded images are wind and confusion.
Confusion is
Well,
that
their
so
works
wind
are
is
nothing.
ruach,
Yeah.
is ruach and tohu is this confusion or that the state like the state at the beginning of the creation before God began to create the world. I mean, that's what it's like.
So
Very
basically, it's saying that Israel will be preserved.
Yep. And God is challenging the nations. He's pointing out the fact that they are not, they don't have the ultimate control of things in the universe. It's like Psalm 2, or the one where what is it that says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of the nation gather themselves together. And let me read that because it just seems appropriate in this whole context. I don't have that one memorized. I think it's Psalm 2. Yeah, why do nations, oh, I don't have the King James, but bear with it. Why do nations assemble and people plot vain things? Kings of the earth take their stand, and regents intrigue together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break the cords of their yoke, shake off their at them. Then he speaks to them in anger, terrifying them in his rage. But I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Let me tell of the decree the Lord said to me. You are my son. I have fathered you this day. Ask it of me, and I will make the nations your domain, your estate, the limits of the earth.
Hold on a second
Kings,
there.
be prudent. Accept discipline, you rulers of the earth. This is the one, and King James says, kiss the son, I think.
Yeah. Hey, tell him to hold on a second.
Oh, can you hold on? I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm holding. What happened?
A bunch of noise.
We're gonna take Kane outside.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but he's freaking out.
Okay, take care of him, John. I'll hold here.
Put out that door. I don't know why he was outside the whole time I landed. He was
The restroom. It's okay.
freaking dog.
It's okay.
Because he's out there
I'll fix
clawing and barking the whole time and not using the restroom. You know that? He's out there just focusing on the fact that I'm outside and not with him and not using the restroom. And he gets locked in and he's like, oh, I have good breath. And then he just runs out the door. All right, Dad, I'm back.
Okay. Okay. So I'm back. I'm reading from the King James again. Just going to finish this from eight, because we got interrupted. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I think that psalm is really closely related to what's being spoken of here in Isaiah. Same kind of a judgment feel to it, and it's also looking forward to the return of the Messiah. You want to do the 42 also? Okay, good.
Want to take that?
Sure.
Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says the Lord. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers, coastlands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger, whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. That's quoted in the New Testament, right?
Yes, I believe it is.
I think Jesus quotes that. He says, "Right did Isaiah prophesy against you that seeing you do not see and hearing you."
But
The
here
Lord.
he's talking about the Messiah himself, although 18 says, "Listen, you who are deaf, you blind ones, look up and see. Who is so blind as my servant, so deaf as the messenger I send? Who is so blind as the chosen one, so blind as the servant of the Lord? Seeing many things, he gives no heed. With ears open, he hears nothing." I think this is referring more to where it says he was like one dumb who he gave us back to the smiters, and it says he didn't answer or something. He was like dumb before those who
Yeah.
were accusing him. And I think that's what's that aspect is what's being referred to here.
I see. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey and no one delivers, for plunder and no one says, "Restore." Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For who would not walk in his ways? Nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore, he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart.
Wow. It's the people. This last passage is very interesting. I was reading in Hosea. I've been reading in Hosea has a lot of complaints. Just it's very similar, the idolatry that was taking place, the fornication, and the slavery. They're very closely related in a spiritual way. I think what happened in Israel is that, like today, us today, we're so influenced by the world and our environment that we don't, well, let's say we take that to be a greater reality than God. That's the kind of, I think, the basis of the idolatry that we're guilty of. The idolatry being that we substitute the values and the reality that the world puts forth as being the real reality, the thing that's more real than what God says.
Absolutely.
And who was it gave Jacob over to despoilment and Israel to plunderers? Surely the Lord against whom they sinned. Now, so God gives, when we sin and choose not to walk in his way, then he allows the adversary to come in and afflict us. That's analogous to what happened when Israel entered into the land. When they were relying on the Lord, they were victorious. When they forgot the Lord, then the Philistines start to gain ground. They come in, they start attacking. They turn back to the Lord, and then they have the victory. And it goes that way.
Yeah.
Very good. So where are we now? We have 43. Well, I don't know what the time is. Let me see if I can. Oh yeah, we can get one more in, I think. I will read this one. I'll read it from the King James. I do have the King James here. It'll make it easier for you.
All right.
Verse 40, Isaiah 43. Let's see. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. These two elements, fire and water, they always indicate judgment. But God is promising that he will bring them through the fire and the water. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for their ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth, or let them hear and say amen. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And then there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? You know, this verse 13 sounds a lot. Before Abraham was I am. Doesn't that sound the
Yeah.
same? It's like instead of the day, the word Abraham.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the same phrase.
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles. And the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declares. Plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Wow. Those last that last passage from 21, this people have I formed for myself. So God's saying, I chose you and I formed you to be my servant, and you didn't. You haven't even called upon me. It's relying on Jacob is relying on his own resources, not relying on the Lord. And God, they're not bringing the sacrifices, but God says, I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee. I haven't even asked you to do that, but you haven't done it. But I'm not calling you to do that. But what he's really objecting to is not only didn't they bring him sacrifices, but they've burdened him with their sins. And yet he's the one that blots out their sins. All he's saying is acknowledge that you are sinful. Don't try to justify yourself. Don't rely on me. Come to me. I'm
Yeah,
willing
I
to.
mean, that's basically the gospel
It
presented right.
is very strong. But let us plead together that thou mayest be justified. And it's just incredible. Very strong. Okay.
You know, when you were saying about water and fire being the two
Yeah.
elements associated with judgment, I was thinking that it's interesting that water was used during the first
Right.
judgment, and fire will be used at the last one.
You're frozen?
Oh, yeah, I'm back now.
Okay. Yeah. There's that Negro spiritual, that says something like, won't be the water, but the fire next time,
Oh, yeah.
And that's where James Baldwin got the title of the book, The Fire Next Time. The
I'm familiar with that.
that's it was a book in the early 60s. It was one of the first of the civil rights type novels that there were novels that were being written to point out the state of the blacks in the post-Civil War, I guess. But yeah, there's a psalm where it says, "Thou hast made our enemies to ride over us. We have gone through fire and water." Where the Jews are, the people of God are lamenting all of the sufferings that they've endured. But sufferings they've endured in the course of their rebellion. That's the thing that's so amazing.
Well, I
Okay,
guess.
let's that should do it, I guess, for this time.
Yeah.
And let's so we did read we did through we're up to chapter 44, right?
41, 42, and 43 is what we
Okay,
did.
I'm going to note that, and Lord willing, we'll meet again next time. You
Thank you,
guys
Ed.
have a good week.
All
Take
right.
care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.